My name is Jim Wye, and I'm a ACA. Can you guys hear me out there? If not, I'd like to ask you to come closer so that you can hear everything that I have to say. Basically, I came in to recovery through ACA. I didn't know that I was an alcoholic or drug addict or ACA or codependent or any of that stuff. But I found out through therapy that my dad was an alcoholic, and that gave me an inroads to coming into an ACA meeting many years ago. And it was through that meeting that I discovered that I was an alcoholic. And that was pretty debilitating news for me at that point. And then the following week, I discovered that I was also a drug addict. And so my recovery began there in ACA CODA. I went to AA and to Cocaine Anonymous to address my drug addiction and my substance abuse issues first. And after a couple of years of recovery there, I still went to ACA meetings and CODA meetings and realized that I had gotten a rotten deal, because although I was clean and sober, I felt like crap. And at that point, that's when I really shifted my focus of my recovery towards ACA and codependency, because my life was riddled with that. What happened underneath all of my drug addiction and my alcoholism and everything is pretty much in parallel with the first two speakers today about my getting high on my behaviors. It was pretty hard to chew off that concept, but I just went with it because I knew that I needed help, and I knew that I was in a lot of pain, and I was willing to surrender because I knew that life, that as I knew it, just didn't work. And recovery was my last stop before I took my life. So I'm glad that it worked, because not only did recovery save my life, but it gave me one. A life that I've not had before. In looking at this workshop that I'm delivering today, it's based upon breaking the rules of what we learn in ACA families. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. Knowing what it is that I do to keep in this self-defeating, self-destructive pattern was the first step. But this workshop is more or less based upon, well, what next? What do I do next? How do I get in touch with my feelings? How do I break the cycle of not talking, not trusting? And so that was the basis of the workshop development today. So I'm going to take a look at how these rules of don't talk, don't trust, don't feel kept me stuck in my childhood, me being a child in an adult body, and how to break free of these chains. So it's kind of like being wedded to a belief system that kept me stuck all of my life, and realizing that I had to let go of that belief system that kept me alive all these years. Minimally so, but it still kept me alive all these years, and yet I was encouraged to let go of what I knew, and that was really a scary thing to do. So in doing so, I realized that I had to trust this thing called a higher power. And that was going to be the basis of my faith taking me through this journey of the self to discover and recover this person inside me that still lives today, my inner child, and to claim responsibility for my life as a responsible adult. So it's a lot of scary work. And I just wanted to remind you that whatever works for you today, please take it with you. Whatever doesn't, that's fine with me too. There's a lot of information here in these handouts, so I really can't go into detail or depth. A lot of this information is meant for you to take home and digest for yourself and to work it out in your own lives if it fits or not. These are things that I've done personally that have really helped me to recover and to grow up and take responsibility for my life. I'd like to start by just looking at that face of feelings behind that cover sheet. I started off looking at this sheet and not knowing much beyond fear, anger, sadness, disappointment. Those are the feelings that I was able to identify and get in touch with. Everything else was a mystery to me. So my recovery began in looking at all these other things and saying, well, I can keep asking myself in any given moment of every day, how do I feel? And I'd look at this sheet, and then I would guess. And I would guess and guess and guess until that process led me to understand what it was that I was feeling. But just in doing so, I didn't realize that that was only part of the work. The next part of the work involved learning what to do about it. And as an adult child of an alcoholic, I didn't know how to take care of myself. So basically, these feelings are telling me something about self-care. So in just getting us connected, I wanted to play a couple of songs that I really relate to. Coming into recovery, how I felt really alone and isolated and get away from me. And so I'll start there. It's that song by Simon and Garfunkel called I Am a Rock.
A winter's day in a deep and dark December, I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow.
Anybody relate to that song? Okay. So just in moving on, the next song I picked relates to my family of choice. That's listed on the next page.
Mm-hmm. single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give. When you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never feel those mountains in the distance. Never settle for the path of least resistance. Living might mean taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some helping heart leave you bitter. When you come close to selling out, reconsider.
Do you have any more coffee?
Don is making some. Thank you. Okay.
Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, dance. I hope you dance. I hope you dance.
How was that song? Did it bring up any feelings for you?
A lot more hopeful than the first one.
Somebody earlier said, with regard to the committee that we came into recovery with, that committee that really doesn't like us at all. I play these songs, and I read poetry, and I stay with my writing and my little inner child to say that there's a lot of hope, and I keep coaching him. I stay with him, and I don't abandon him. And as I'm able to stay with him, even when I'm scared, the adult, his trust in me grows. And this is what I call sticking with the winners. I don't go into that old ugly neighborhood, whereas I didn't stand a chance. So let's turn to the next page, number one. I ran down a brief description about feelings, where they come from, why they're here, and what we deal with them. So in the first example, talk about feelings. They connect you with your inner and outer world. They tell you if something is right or wrong. They alert you to the degree of urgency in which you need to respond to things. And they tell you something needs to be said or done. Feelings and self-care. We're connected physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. If we're not taking care of ourselves in each of these domains, we're kind of like an automobile running on three tires or even two, that until we get back on all four domains of our lives and taking care of ourselves, the rest of us will suffer. And so as an ACA, I didn't know too much about emotional self-care nor spiritual self-care. They kind of like got left behind. Intellectually, physically, kind of a no-brainer growing up. They just happen. But on the emotional and spiritual fronts, this is where my recovery lies, learning how to grow up emotionally and spiritually, because I've been very immature and stuck for all of my life. So this is where my work lies even till today. Feelings development, they start at a very young age. They tell you if it's okay to trust or not. Tell you to open down or to close up. Tell you if you're okay or you're not. Feelings conflict. When we're taught, don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, we're invalidated. We're told you shouldn't feel that way. We come into this place of learned helplessness. We don't know what to do, but we do know what to do to stay stuck. And that's what we know. Blame, shame, and abandonment. So we're filled with doubt, inferiority, and despair. That free floating anxiety that just won't let us go. And then as a result of that, our feelings get out of control because we're not connected to them. Traumatic age regression. We're kidnapped and held hostage by fear. There's no way out when we get into this shame spiral of sorts. It's like an emotional quicksand. And we numb out all of that unaddressed pain through our various addictions. But there's hope. In the last category, I talked about healing feelings. Nurture and let go of old wounds. Become your own loving parent based on actions coming from love. It's really true. It can work. We create meaningful boundaries, both internal boundaries and external boundaries. We learn to become responsible for our lives, that we don't automatically disempower ourselves, turn it over to somebody else and say, my life sucks because of you. Yeah. So, bottom line, to thine own self be true. And even with this statement, I truly didn't know what it meant to have my own self or to the degree of health. Like, to thine own self be true. True to what? Whose values? Whose beliefs? Whose morals? Because all those things that I learned growing up just didn't work for me. And so that, in my perspective, places the responsibility on me to figure out all this stuff, this new information that I've got to learn how to give and to get so that I'm not self-destructing anymore, that I'm leading life in a self-affirming way, a self-constructive way, and learning how to love in a manner that really works, not that love and pity and baloney kind of love that I grew up with. People saying, I love you, Jim. And me getting to the point where I say, well, fine, but I don't believe you. Or people telling me that and I'll say, fine, but I don't trust you. So that kind of love that I learned growing up just didn't work for me. So that old belief system that ran my life, I realized that I had to revamp it, turn it over to God, and see what came out of it. Any comments, questions on the sheet?
Some believe that there's a difference between feelings and emotion. Feelings are more responsive to situation. Emotions go more to the core. Do you feel there's a difference?
Yes, there is a difference. I believe that it does change from person to person. And the biggest part about all this work is that we all have our different triggers. And that something can trigger me a heck of a lot more than it'll trigger you. And so I'm hard-pressed to call it an emotion or a feeling. I don't know enough about this to be able to identify it in a really defined way that works in a blanket situation for everybody. Okay. Great, let's turn to the next page. On this page, I talk about feeling components. Source, process, feeling, action, outcome. These are the components of feelings. There's a beginning and an end, and a lot goes on in between. On the board here, I wrote down source, process, feeling, action, outcome. Source, meaning where did that come from? Did it come from an internal or external stimulation? The experience can be rooted in a thought, memory, intuition, feeling, emotion, or any of your five senses. So it can come from a lot of places. Process. What you do with the stuff that comes into you. What's going on in your world? The stimulation or trigger is then processed by person's perceptions and belief systems. Process involves an assessment and evaluation of the experience. Feeling. How are you really feeling? As an ACA, I didn't know how I was feeling. I really had to work at this. I'll get to further on in the workshop, how to identify feelings, and then learn how to identify what it is to do with this feeling that I just identified with so that I can take care of myself. Action. Express yourself. The reaction response taken based upon the process and feelings that surface. For ACAs, the actions are our laundry list. We take these actions based upon the external input and internal input that we got. We react to life. We don't respond to life. Outcome. Can't get no satisfaction. The consequences of the action taken, the resulting feelings and thoughts that arise from addressing the experience. So if I'm continuing to act out my ACA laundry list, I am not going to feel good as a result of that. As I continue to act out my ACA laundry list, the older I get, the progressively worse it gets. It's no different from an alcoholic drinking and drinking and drinking. It gets progressively worse. It gets more ingrained in us, and we go into a heck of a lot more denial. But the good news about feelings, especially about feeling bad, is that they will tell us that we may be heading down a dead-end street. We need to change directions in life.
I don't know quite how to phrase this. I'll speak strictly for myself. I have feelings of distrust to my significant other. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll address that a little bit later on.
When you were talking about process, for me it's more what's going on at the time. Is it late at night in the rain and flat tire, or is it right after a very positive seminar and the sun is shining and I feel not hungry and energetic? So to me, how I process things is very proportional. Unfortunately, to my circumstance I'm in. Do I love this person and I really am mad at them? or they're a stranger, and whatever they say doesn't matter to me. So the way I process things, it just depends on a bunch of other stuff.
That's correct. And that also will get to the bottom of how to identify your process and what to do about it. So moving on, examples of processing feeling components. I have a ball here. And I'm going to throw it to somebody that wants to catch it. So the source is this ball. It's a ball toss. The process of that person that made the choice to receive the ball will say, here it comes. Cool. How did it feel? Okay. So feeling, was it fun? Okay. So the action in this response was that you caught the ball. The outcome, are you happy and satisfied? Okay. Can you guys see that process just through this ball? Can I throw it to somebody else? So where did it come from? It came with the ball, and all you guys are witnesses to this act. What's going on in your world? Jim had to stay focused on the ball, otherwise it might have hit him on the head or something and sued me. So in looking at breaking down feelings into different components up here, it starts in the beginning and then it ends. For ACAs, we can jump. But the purpose of this workshop is trying to show you that if you can put things in their proper perspective, then you have a better chance of dealing with your feelings. If you're dealing with something that happened when you're 2 years old, pre-verbal, but you know something really terrible happened, it's hard to make sense of it. But as you're able to begin to name each part of that process, it'll give you an idea of what you need to do to work on that event that caused all these ill feelings. In the next box, I came up with an example of fatigue, what some of us can do with fatigue. Source is fatigue. Process is that keep working to look good. Feeling. When you keep working and you don't take care of that, you kind of get numbed out. Action. Skip lunch and keep working to look good. Outcome. Feeling tired and overworked. And incidentally, as these...
And resentful.
At yourself, at your boss, or your coworkers?
At your job, you know, at yourself for working so hard and overtime.
Great.
For nothing.
Good. So looking at it from this point of fatigue, where it came from, the source, that fatigue was working. What's going on in your world? You keep working to look good. I'm a recovering workaholic. I know what that's like. Feeling. How are you really feeling? If I'm numbed out, I can just say, oh, forget it. I can work harder, smarter, better, and look good. Being really irresponsible to how I'm really feeling about this whole thing. Expressing myself. I skip lunch and I keep working because I want to look good and I want to get this project done at my own expense. Outcome, am I satisfied? No. Any comments, questions?
Yeah, this particular block reminds me of physical fatigue or physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
Really down to the bone. And that's the one I'm working on.
Great. Thank you for that. And as we go through these cycles in our lives, if we don't intervene at any one part of it, we're kind of doomed to repeat it again and again and again until we address our issues. So let's turn to the next page. And on this page, I've listed a number of things: emotional, mental, physical, and things from our family of origin as well, too. The downside of the ball toss: I don't know how to play. Feeling: undecided and anxious. Don't throw it to me. Action: I can appear disinterested when I'm really scared. Outcome: I'm feeling unsettled and bothered. So in this example, I filled in the opposite effect of that first ball toss example. So in each positive space in your life, there's also a negative space. If you're able to identify each one of these processes or sequences to what's happening in you, you can have an idea of how to go about correcting how you feel. So in that next example of fatigue, source, fatigue, process. On a positive note, I'm working hard and I need some rest. That's what's going through my brain. Feeling: I'm feeling tired and hungry. Action: I'm going to take a lunch break and relax. Outcome: I'm going to feel refreshed and ready to go back to work. So can you see that these are just direct opposites of that negative behavior that we practice?
I distinctly remember this. It was so vivid to me. I was working, I'm a computer geek, okay? I was working on a program, and it wouldn't go right, and it wouldn't go right. I kept pounding away. And finally, I said, F it. I went home and went to sleep. Within 30 minutes later, I woke up with the answer, came back, and it was right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right, just can't let go, and then finally just go on the way for 15 minutes to get a sandwich or something, and I come back. Oh, well, that's simple.
Yeah. That all hungry, angry, lonely, and tired really kicks your butt after a while. On an emotional level, the next example, the source, a money borrower appears. Process: there's the boundary buster. Feeling: disgusted and assertive. Action: no, you can't borrow any money from me. Outcome: you feel relieved and happy because you applied self-care. On the other note, the money borrower appears. Process: oh no, not him again. Feeling: hopeless and helpless. Action: how much money do you want? Outcome: you're feeling angry and resentful. Next box of examples. Source: loving and nurturing family. I had to work really hard at this to believe that there was such a thing that I could create for myself. Process: I am enough. Feeling: precious and free. Action: letting go and letting God. Outcome: self-confident and empowered. Opposite of that, source: blaming and shaming family. Process: there must be something wrong with me. Feeling: I'm feeling helpless and inadequate. Action: I'm controlling and people-pleasing. my outcome. I'm lost and self-critical. I have found that in practicing new behavior, when I first start off, I feel really crummy. I feel guilty. I self-shame myself. And it's not until I practice and practice and practice and practice that I get to a point where I'm okay with it. And it's like that with any new behavior that I'm turning around from an old behavior. If I'm used to giving you the money that you want to borrow from me till the next payday, and the next payday comes and you say, well, gee whiz, Jim, I'm a little short. I'll get you next payday. And then in between now and next payday, you say, I need another 10. But I'll pay you back on the next payday. And if I keep repeating my old behaviors, I'm going to keep getting the same insanity, feeling bad. But once I decide to intervene in my old habitual self-defeating patterns, I'm breaking the rules. I'm feeling really bad. Because not only am I taking care of myself, which is deemed selfish in my house, I don't have a right to do this. So a lot of the intervention and the change of behavior is going to be accompanied by fear, shame, abandonment, all the things that we used to fear before, but we feared it from a place that we would lose the love. But the irony of it all is that there was no love to lose. But because I've been chasing that love all my life, I thought there was something there. It takes a lot of work to break all of these habits, all these belief systems and myths that ran our lives, because for us, it meant survival. That if we didn't do all these things, people please or act out or lose ourselves in the process, whatever crumbs we're getting would be taken away from us. Pretty scary stuff. Let's move on to the next page where I go more into detail about each of these processes. Healing feelings. Healing requires close examination and evaluation of how you react to life from a cause and effect point of view. Challenging the ways you respond to your internal and external reality can have a positive impact on how you feel. Here are some suggestions on how to evaluate and respond to your feelings in practical ways that heal. Source: where did it come from? Breaking it down. Is it internal or externally based? Is it voluntary or involuntary? Is it a person, place, or thing? Consider the source. Is it past, present, or future? Is it physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual? It can be one or a combination of any of these. It can come from a bundle of feelings. If you're not used to processing your feelings one by one, they may come as globs to you, and really hard to separate what it is that you're dealing with. That's how I started. Sometimes it still happens to me, but I'm getting better. Most important, if you don't know what the source is, ask for help. Your group, your sponsor, trusted friend, recovery friends, therapist, ask for help. You don't necessarily have to internalize the help. Check out the help that you get and see if it can be trusted. And if you don't know, that's okay, because this is a process. You keep going back asking the same questions, and you get different answers along the way. But after a while, you get pretty close to where it actually came from. Process, what's going on in your world? Ask yourself what's really happening. Is it really real, or am I just being triggered? That I'm reacting to something that happened to me when I was eight years old. Has there been a boundary violation? Examine my self-talk. Is my survival at stake? Is it an obsession out of control? Look at my belief system validity. Am I dealing with fantasy, or am I dealing with reality? Is what I'm thinking and feeling functional or dysfunctional? I can figure out a plan of action necessary to figure all this stuff out. And if I don't know, ask for help. That help component is really important because in recovery, we don't do all this by ourselves. It's not a me program, it's a we program. Feeling. How are you really feeling? Take time out to ask yourself how you are feeling. That example in that prior workshop, just going from really manic to depressive and skipping all that gray matter in between, you can't really get in touch with your feelings if you're just up there or down there all the time. Try to figure out where it is that you are. Identify the feeling. Name your joy or pain. Know that feelings aren't always based on fact. Is it coming from learned helplessness? If we're feeling disempowered and we automatically feel like trash, and we can't do anything about it, identify. It's okay. Check out your ability to tolerate that feeling. Do you want to run? Do you want to hide? Do you want to medicate? What is it that you want to do? Check out the degree of what you're feeling. Is it something that you can consider to be normal, critical, or are you in a crisis mode that you need to do something right now? Know that there are a lot of frozen feelings that we haven't dealt with, and those can keep you stuck. You may be feeling something, but just can't wrap your brain around it or connect with your heart because it's something that you've denied all of your life. Maybe like with Jim, he didn't even let his anger get out. Me too. So when I get angry today, I have to really sit down and say, okay, it's okay to be angry. What can I do about it? And so it's a lot of work. Finally, if you don't know, ask for help. Action. Express yourself. The old don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. Express yourself. When we're kids, we weren't allowed to do anything outside of what our caregivers wanted to hear, see, that we had to act totally in alignment with their values. We had to abandon ourselves as a result of that. Direct your feelings to the source, the process, the feeling. Don't stuff or avoid your feelings. Set a meaningful boundary if you need to. Look at what you're doing and say, is this in alignment with my vision, goals, and values? In looking at your action, you also say, is this for long-term gain or immediate gratification? Is it full or partial expression of feelings? Once again, implement a plan of action if you don't know. You can ask your friends in recovery, hey, what is it that you did when you were confronted in that situation? I feel powerless too. And if you don't know, ask for help. Lastly, the outcome. And this is what kind of tells you more or less of where you stand. Know that you are your own heir to your own karma. You don't get to blame it on anybody else. It's yours. Are you taking age-appropriate action? Are you acting like a 5-year-old or a 35-year-old or a 50-year-old? Is your boundary system intact and balanced? Do you need to challenge your belief system and your actions? Do you need to create a plan of action or adjustments? Take a look at your action and figure out if it's effective. Is it affirming or defeating? Is it a temporary or permanent solution? Most important, can you live with the consequences of your actions? That's really a defining moment. And lastly, if you're not satisfied, keep coming back. Try and try again. So.
When I was going through the process and things like that, I was thinking just by even stepping back, because I'm when something happens and I get triggered, at work, it's really hard for me to not do a knee-jerk reaction. And then, of course, I feel bad about it later. But the very fact that I would even consider, let's think about this. And just the fact of even going through this process buys you enough time to where you might not do a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. This is a lot of stepping back to do. And there are times when I'm better at it than not. But by and large, I find that when I am able to implement this kind of action plan, that's when I can really intervene on my laundry list from running my life. Otherwise, I'm just a ball of reactions. And I'm going to get worse and worse, or better according to the laundry list. But if you really want to interrupt your laundry list, you stay in action, and all the rest will change. How's that? It's really a big challenge. You put everything else down, and you act in your best interest that you learn in recovery. The Bill of Rights. Practice it, know it, frontwards and backwards, and don't let any boundaries busters talk you out of it. It'll change your life. You stop practicing your laundry list, it'll change your life. Immediate. Easier said than done. Well, that's in an idealistic world. Let's take a look at the next page. I've broken down this page number 5 into 3 sections. The first section is called a feelings journal. Second section is gauge your thoughts and feelings to determine where you stand. Third part is processing what it is that you've been journaling. In the first part, looking at journaling down your feelings, and these are things that come up on a day-to-day basis. More so than not, that really own a piece of your life, maybe like an obsession or something. You find yourself doing things when you don't want to. For example, on February 3rd, feeling resentful. Action, I ate 2 quarts of Ben and Jerry's. Outcome, I added inches. Comments, but I don't care. Who cares? February 8th, feeling lonely. I watched TV all night. Outcome, I was tired the next day. Comments, nobody cares. On the 14th, I was feeling scared, so I procrastinated doing my work. Outcome, I had to pay late penalties. Comments, I can't afford this. On the 15th, I was feeling elated. Why? I went to the movies with a friend. Outcome, we developed a closer friendship. Comments, my little kid said, this is cool. On the 28th, that lonely thing came up again, reared its ugly head. I can't stand it. I watch TV all night to address it or to numb myself out. Outcome, I'm tired the next day. Comment, nobody cares. On the 5th, I was feeling angry. Action, I got drunk. That's how I dealt with my anger. Outcome, I had a hangover the next morning. Comment, I'm still mad. On the 10th, I was feeling impatient. As a result of that, I yelled at a friend. The outcome, I alienated that friend. Then I think, why did I do that? So in taking a look at this lonely thing that owns my life, that has me watching TV all night and eating Ben and Jerry's when I really don't want to, I tried to gauge it. Where does it stand on my feelings gauge? Is it a 1, where it really doesn't matter, or is it a 10? I put it at an 8. Anything 5 or above is really problematic and it needs attention.
So the scale is a priority scale, Jim?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. How is it impacting your life? In looking at processing that feeling lonely, I divided it into 2 sections, socializing versus isolation. If I deal with my loneliness by staying up, watching TV all night, and eating Ben and Jerry's and not caring, I'm isolating. So my process, nobody cares. My feeling, I feel lonely. That's my core feeling as a result of my action. In my source. Action, I stayed up late. Outcome, I'm fatigued. And I'm still lonely. To boot. Right above that, I wrote an antidote or a possible solution to this loneliness business. Source, socializing. Process, look for friends. How do you do that if you're used to isolating? Feeling, if you're able to look for friends, you would feel more optimistic than you would feel lonely. So once again, you have to get into action before you'll get a change of feelings. You don't get it intellectually. Well, if I go ice skating or if I learn how to play the guitar with all my friends, I won't feel lonely. That's the beginning of a process or beginning of a solution that will not get you the solution. You have to put in your dues, get into action. So in this action, I wrote down, I attended meetings. That's how I got out of my isolation. I attended meetings. I started learning how to hug people that's the last thing that I wanted to do. I learned how to talk to newcomers. I learned how to say hello to people and start conversations when that was the last thing I wanted to do. But deep down inside, I knew that by doing those actions and practicing those positive actions, that would turn around my feelings about feeling isolated. And by golly, it did. the outcome of my actions, somebody cares. Because as I'm busy isolating and keeping everybody at arm's length from me, who's going to want to care for me? Not even me, because I hate myself. Any comments, questions?
Thanks for breaking it down into, you know, into manageable steps that we can apply to our own lives. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I get one of these sheets? I can
move my. Don will print up some more.
Okay.
I'm currently out, but we'll get you some more. Thank you. Let's turn to the next page. On this page, I describe healthy process plus healthy actions equal healthy feelings. Awareness plus acceptance plus action equals freedom. Ignorance plus denial plus inaction equals imprisonment, being stuck. I've divided the solution, or taking responsibility for your life, in listening to problem, or self-sabotage. Whenever I got into resistance, procrastination, I didn't know what it looked like to apply a solution in my life. So I developed this list to give me a reminder as to what I might try to learn how to do. So I looked at the opposite column. So take a look at both columns and the opposites. See if there's anything that you'd like more clarification on or you'd like to comment on. That at the top of the page, I wrote down awareness plus acceptance. That means you own it. Then you go into action, and that's when your change will happen. But without those three, especially the action, nothing changes, nothing changes. Let's move on to the next page. Here's a list of healthy processes, like a toolbox of affirmations. Turn it over to the care of your loving higher power. Do what you fear and watch it disappear. Fake it till you make it. These are recovery things that I've learned along the way. Pain is the messenger of something that needs changing. Mm-hmm. You are what you eat, mm-hmm. physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Feelings are often based upon past circumstances and not current experiences. Identify and abstain from unsafe and abusive behavior towards yourself. Practice respect, compassion, and forgiveness with yourself as much as possible. These are things that we just try to live by. We don't do them perfectly. Own an optimistic and absolutely positive attitude. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Practice self-nurturing. Breathe, think positive, create a sacred space, physical exercise, eat a well-balanced diet, and take time for fun, play, and relaxation. That last part is really hard for me as an ACA. Learn how to play. Implement the grieving process where appropriate, letting go of the old to make room for the new. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Think things all the way through. Do your best to abide with commitments made to change your views and actions. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Get off and stay off the fence.
What does that mean? What do you mean you can't have your cake and eat it
It means that you can't think about being a people pleaser and not abstain from being a people pleaser. You can't have the best of both worlds. You have to be on one side or the other in recovery. Some things are pretty black and white. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I can't profess to be working a program if I'm still drinking. It just doesn't work. Same thing with practicing my behaviors. I can think a good program. I can talk a good program. But if I'm not living it, I can't have the best of both worlds. Stay with the process until the issue is resolved. This may require multiple efforts to work through an issue that keeps coming back. That's usually your sign that you need to work on something. It does not let you go. Progress, not perfection. Making mistakes are an important part of learning. Processing more than one issue at a time will probably lend to spinning out. That's like biting off more than you can chew. Honor and respect the rights and boundaries of yourself and others. Be willing to seek outside help where appropriate. Counselors, therapists, spiritual advisors, sponsors, and trustworthy friends. Obstacles are those horrifying objects we see once we take our eyes off our goals. If I'm going through a bitter divorce that's really creating havoc with my finances, my work, my serenity at home, this is really not the time to be working additionally on my family of origin issues and my sobriety and this and that. It's like too big. Work at what fire needs putting out the most. So in looking at all this work, it really demands a huge level of commitment and discipline. And that's probably one of the last things that our inner children want in our lives. So on the last page, the second to last page, I have a song which I relate to with my inner child to give him the credit of where I am today. Yeah.